trying to stop the vote from being certified in Pennsylvania. I'm Dave Anthony, Fox News. And Republicans back in state court this morning seeking an emergency injunction 2 days after filing suit to block counties from certifying results today. And Joe Biden the winner. The Trump campaign also lost in federal courts.
Over the weekend, a judge dismissed the Trump campaign's lawsuit seeking to stop certification, saying the court was presented with a strained legal argument without merit. It was speculative in accusations, but senior legal advisor Jenna Ellis, who I spoke to over the weekend, says they believe their strongest suit is in Pennsylvania, and they're asking for an expedited hearing on Wednesday.
Fox's Griff Jenkins, President-elect Biden, keeps planning his January takeover. Fox's Rachel Sutherland has this live.
Dave, Fox News confirms Anthony Blinken will be named as the next Secretary of State under the Biden administration. Incoming White House Chief of Staff Robert Klain on ABC's This Week.
You're going to see the first of the president-elect's cabinet appointments on Tuesday of this week.
This is House Democrats have asked General Services Administrator Emily Murphy to explain why she hasn't signed off on a transition by today, threatening to bring her in for a public hearing if she doesn't. Dave.
Rachel, it's Ron Klain with Biden administration. Now, as we get to the coronavirus, there's another vaccine nearly ready. AstraZeneca says it can be up to 90% effective, a little less than Moderna and Pfizer, which applied for FDA approval Friday. AstraZeneca VP Ruud Dobber told Fox Business they may have to wait for that.
Our U.S. trial is still running as we speak.
Now, the number of COVID cases topped 100,000 for the 20th day in a row. The CDC urged Americans not to travel on Thanksgiving, but Friday through Sunday, more than 3 million people went through airport checkpoints. That's the most over 3 days since mid-March, but still down from the 7 million people flying the same 3 dates last year. America's listening to Fox News.
Buongiorno.
Buongiorno.
Buonasera.
Buonasera.
How can I make the most of waiting for my next big vacation?
Translate your questions into goals by investing with Merrill Edge Self-Directed. It's more accessible than you think, with helpful planning tools plus free online stock and ETF trades. So you can keep practicing your pronunciation. Merrill, a Bank of America company. Visit MerrillEdge.com/withinreach to get started today.
Investing involves risk. Merrill Lynch, Pierce, Fenner & Smith Incorporated. Registered broker dealer, member SIPC. Other fees may apply. Investment products are not FDIC insured or not bank guaranteed and may lose value.
Carolers, that's the holiday spirit. Speaking of which, Simply Safe Home Security is having a huge holiday sale. Right now, you can get 40% off a new system and a free camera at simplysafe.com/holiday. That's 40% off the system U.S. News named the best of 2020. Simply Safe protects your whole home 24/7 with monitoring by professionals. The sale ends soon, so go to simplysafe.com/holiday for 40% off and a free camera.
Morning News is brought to you by Sprague Sports on 32nd Street, Yuma's hunting and shooting headquarters, and responsible gun ownership since 1956.
Truckmates, Yuma's Fix Up, your pickup truck store, is Yuma's home for Snug Top shells and lids. Snug Top, designed and manufactured to the highest standard, industry-leading quality, and trend-setting design to protect and complement your vehicle. That's Snug Top. Truckmates is also your Line-X spray-in bedliner dealer. Line-X, number one in America for spray-in bedliners, with nationwide warranty coverage, is now available and installed by Yuma's most experienced spray-on team at Truckmates. So protect your vehicle inside and out with Line-X spray and bed liners and Snug Top shells and lids at Truckmates. Truckmates is also your home for BDS suspensions, the highest quality aftermarket suspension lift kits, leveling kits, and accessories for 4x4 off-road truck and Jeep enthusiasts. And BDS suspensions are backed by the best lifetime warranty in the industry. BDS suspensions, Line-X spray and bed liners, and Snug Top shells and lids at Truckmates in this brand new building, same location, 32nd Street next to Lowe's.
The Russ Clark Show is brought to you by Quick Refrigeration, now offering excellence in professional plumbing services as well as heating and air conditioning. Visit them at getcoolquick.com and listen to Russ Clark Monday through Friday, 6 a.m. to 9 a.m.
Weather is brought to you by Ed Whitehead's Tire Pros, serving Arizona for over 20 years.
News, talk, sports, and up-to-date weather from 560 KBLU.
For today, sunny and 81, 53 overnight for tonight. West wind at 5 to 10. Sunny and cooler on Tuesday, 75, the high 47. Tuesday night, 10-mile-per-hour winds. And Wednesday, 75 and sunny, 46 on Wednesday night.
The following program on 560 KBLU is a paid program.
All opinions expressed by the program participants are solely their current opinions and do not reflect the opinions of 560 KBLU, El Dorado Broadcasters, LLC, their respective parent companies or affiliates, or the companies with which the program participants are affiliated and may have been previously disseminated by them. The program participants' opinions are based upon information they consider reliable, but neither 560 KBLU, El Dorado Broadcasters, nor its affiliates, nor the companies with which such participants are affiliated, warrant its completeness or accuracy, and it should not be relied upon as such.
Welcome to Life, Death, and the Law, presented by the law firm of Deason, Garner, and Hanson, hosted by attorneys Sean Garner and Adam Hanson.
Good morning, Yuma. This is Sean Garner. I'm in studio here with Mr. Russ Clark.
And good morning.
Good morning, sir. So it's Thanksgiving week.
It is.
And hopefully you have something big and exciting planned with the family.
Well, some changes to my plans.
Okay.
I was supposed to be driving to Phoenix early morning to pick up my ex-wife, who was coming in town, and I said, sure, I'll pick you up. You know, there's no hatred there or anything, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And she canceled. Well, it wasn't because of COVID so much as look, Christmas would be better.
That was her Thanksgiving gift to you.
I guess. Well,
happy Thanksgiving.
Yeah, there you go. So my Thanksgiving will be a little less windchill time, which is nice.
Okay. Well, we've got family in town. It's cooking up to be a great week. I don't know exactly what we have in store. Usually I have to just check in with my wife to see what's on the schedule.
Good plan.
But Thanksgiving is one of my favorite holidays. And it's because it focuses more on, I feel like at least, we don't get so far away from the holiday as we do with a lot of other holidays. For Christmas, for example, the birth of Christ is the basis of Christmas, yet Santa Claus and getting and giving presents seems to overshadow that quite a bit. Yeah. So Thanksgiving, though, I think we understand that generally as a society that we are giving thanks for God protecting us and protecting our forefathers and providing us the opportunity to be here in this free nation. And so it's a day set aside for prayer and thanks that we can specifically say thank you.
And it's uniquely American. It's kind of neat that it's all ours.
Yeah.
Set up for us.
It is interesting. And you know, It wasn't always celebrated from the times that the pilgrims originally came. We think of Thanksgiving, you think of pilgrims. You think of them, you know, the Plymouth Colony, and you think of the Mayflower. You think of 1621 and them celebrating with the Wampanoag Indians. But the celebration didn't continue annually from that time. In fact, it had long spurts of the country not even recognizing it for hundreds of years at a time.
Of course, we weren't really a country at that point.
It
was a settlement.
True. We were colonies, and then you know. But even after we became a country, so the first Thanksgiving was originally when we became a country, and George Washington instituted it as a day of prayer and Thanksgiving. And he wanted to recognize and have the nation stop and just reflect on how miraculous it was that we'd been delivered from the greatest superpower in the world, and we'd won our independence, and that it was the providence of God that allowed that to happen. And so he wanted to stop and give thanks. And so there was the first Thanksgiving, and his successors, his James Madison and
Jefferson.
John Adams. I'd have to look up my history. I'm not sure if Jefferson recognized it as well, but I'm pretty sure that the first three, and I may be off on this, so you can fact check me on this, but yes, Thomas Jefferson did. I'm looking at my internet right here. I just looked it up, and it actually says Thomas Jefferson was the one that did not observe the holiday and its celebration. Okay. And then, so there was a lapse when he became president all the way nationally I mean, people might have recognized it as a state and just little social networks, but nationally, we didn't recognize it until Abraham Lincoln. And that was in 1863. So, you know what was happening in 1863? We're
in the middle of a problem.
Yeah, the heat of the Civil War.
Right.
And
he wants to give thanks.
He felt that the best way to help the country in that most trying time of its history was to stop and remember what our founding principles were and who it was that helped us get as far as we had gotten at that point. And so he reinstituted a day of Thanksgiving. And so now we celebrate this holiday. And it's a wonderful day because if you think about it, the things that we get out of life require reflection. Our kids go to school and they reflect on what people before them have learned, whether it be mathematics or science or literature. People before them have learned about it, and our children go and they reflect on that. If you want to get better at a sport, growing up, having a video camera was a luxury for me,
yeah.
Right? And not everybody had a video camera. It was something that, you know, only the better off families had. But if you were in sports and you really wanted to excel, your parents would get a video camera and they would videotape you. And I remember my friend's parents they would videotape me, and they would videotape their children religiously as we went to our wrestling tournaments. And if we would watch those tapes, we could see from an outsider's perspective how we were actually performing. And we thought we were some hot stuff on the mat, and when we looked at it from a videotape, we're like, wow, that was kind of sloppy.
Yeah.
And then we could learn from it and try to become better from it. And we do the same thing now just really easily with our cell phones. Every time I go out on the boat, in fact, I was just out, of course, I go out a lot, but I was out on Saturday, and we did some wake skating. Just a little variation between wakeboarding and surfing, where you take out the bindings of the wakeboard and you jump on and you go behind the bow and you wake skate. And it was the first time that we did it, and we videotaped it to see what people were doing to get up easily and how they were pulling tricks and what they could do and stuff like that. So it's as much as for memory and sharing with our family as it is to learn how to develop our skills and be better. And I guess where I'm going with all this is, unless we look back and reflect at where we've been and what we've done and how we got there, we're not going to get any better.
Absolutely.
So my take is, with Thanksgiving, it's such a great holiday because in the very word, it's just to stop and to give thanks for all we have. A lot of family traditions are to sit around the table and have this feast.
Sure.
And recognize that family ties are really important. But also, I think a pretty common family tradition is to go around the table and have each person tell something that they're thankful for. Have you ever done that or participated in it?
I can remember doing that as a child. And normally it was like, I'll be thankful when the food's over and we go out and play. You
know? I know,
you
right?
Have, you know, friends over.
Yeah. We always wanted to. It was sledding in northern Idaho. That was like the first major day of sledding. Yeah. Because we'd be together all with our cousins and at our grandma's house. And they lived on the edge of a big ravine, which is this awesome sledding hill. And so we just couldn't wait. Well, we gotta take a break, but we're going to come back. We're going to talk more about estate planning and Thanksgiving. This is 560 AM, KBLU, Life, Death, and the Law.
More thought-provoking conversation coming up next on Life, Death, and the Law, right here after this.
Hey!
Hey, Yuma, Dave Ramsey here. If you listen to our show or know anything about us, then you know I only recommend products and services I trust and I believe in. That's why when it comes to protecting your assets and planning for your loved one's future, you've got to call my friends Sean Garner and Adam Hansen at the law firm of Deason, Garner, and Hansen. I encourage you to take the first step and attend a free, no-pressure seminar and learn all of your options. The firm of Deason, Garner, and Hansen has been educating the Yuma community for over 40 years, and this is the only area of law that they practice. Sean and Adam believe in giving free education to help people make smart decisions about their assets and help them leave a legacy for their family that they can be proud of. Schedule a free personal consultation today. Call 783-4575 or visit YumaEstatePlanning.com.
This holiday season at Bobby's Territorial Harley-Davidson, the staff is ready to help spread the holiday cheer more than ever before. Not only are they hosting their annual Black and Chrome Weekend, November 27th to 28th, they have a free gift with qualifying purchases all the way through December 24th, while supplies last. And they even offer free gift wrapping with purchases all season long. Only at Bobby's Territorial Harley-Davidson. Bobby's Territorial Harley-Davidson, 2550 East Hilo Ridge Road in Yuma.
Why did the Freon in my AC leak? Well, no metal today is like yesterday's. The copper is different and the price is higher. The new Rheem heat pumps are built like yesterday's, and now Rheem has a 10-year parts warranty on their units in the event they fail. If you want to talk heat pumps, stop by our shop, Air Central Heating and Cooling, your local Rheem dealer.
Give Air Central a call or just log on to acyuma.com.
Of Yuma wants to gobble up the prices this November, like a brand new 2020 Kia Soul GT for $6,000 off MSRP, or a 2020 Rio for only $15,995 plus a 10-year 100,000-mile warranty. Now that's a deal. Kia of Yuma also accepts all credit applications, regardless of credit history. If you want a new ride, go to Kia of Yuma this November, where every day will be Black Friday. Remember this event? It's only at Kia of Yuma, located on Pacific Avenue. Shop in person today, or on Facebook 24/7, or online at www.kiaofyuma.com.
Plus taxes, dock fees, and place rebates in lieu of special finance offers. Kia sold in number 731806. See dealer for details.
You're listening to Life, Death, and the Law, presented by Deason, Garner, and Hansen, the law firm that has been voted Yuma's best 6 years in a row.
Good morning, Yuma, and welcome back. This is Sean Garner. I'm an attorney with Deason, Garner, and Hansen, and I do estate planning. This week, we are celebrating as a nation a day of thanks and prayer and reflection, and we call that Thanksgiving. And we do it with a lot of other traditions. Russ, you were talking about as a kid, you'd go around the family or talk about things that you were thankful for.
Absolutely.
Any particular memories stick out in your mind as
well,
better than others?
I'm an Air Force brat.
Okay.
So, quite often we would be isolated on from family, except the immediate family, you know, just on that. But the times that we were able to go back to Illinois or to Minnesota or something, to the parents' home where cousins, uncles, you know, get you in trouble, whatever. Those are the ones that were the most memorable, of having large groups of people and connection.
Yeah, the thing about it is I personally don't enjoy large crowds.
Okay.
I like being social, but it's generally in groups of two or three, and so the interaction, I don't know, maybe I'm just easily distracted, but so there's not a lot of side conversation. I can have like one conversation with one group. So just the notion of getting a whole bunch of people together in one room kind of gives me...
But it's family.
Yeah.
It's people you know.
Even more so. Because, yeah, I should be interacting with all of them. And so, but it kind of it puts me out of my comfort zone in most cases. And for Thanksgiving, it's an exception. And it's an exception because I'm constantly reminded as to why we're together, and that is because we have the opportunity to assemble as a free nation and remember that we are here because God allowed us the opportunity to participate in this freedom by preserving our forefathers, preserving the pilgrims that came across. In fact, this year, I don't know why we haven't talked about it more, but this year celebrates the 400th anniversary of the pilgrims landing on Plymouth Rock.
Oh, wow.
Yeah,
1621.
Well, 1621 was the first Thanksgiving.
Okay. 1620
was when they landed. And they were going to die. I mean, they landed. They recognized that when they landed far north of their intended destination. And I haven't read the story in a couple of months, so I'm going to be a little hazy on all the details, but I remember that it was closer to New York where they landed. Cool. And so they were going to go south. They wanted to go down to the Virginia colony. And they were trying to go south, and this fierce wind prohibited them from sailing south. And they kept trying to do it to the point that they almost wrecked their ship on some rocks near the shore. And so they decided, listen, we're going to turn back north, and we're going to put in there. And they did, and that is how they established Plymouth Rock and the landing there. And they didn't intermingle immediately, and in fact, for some time, with the colony south in Jamestown.
It wasn't that large a crowd. Were they a few hundred people?
It was about 100 people, and I think there were 41 of them that were actually the what we call the Puritans.
Right.
And seeking religious asylum and seeking to establish or pursue Zion and establish a religious utopia where they could worship not only without tyrannical government oversight, but also where they could be free and raise their children in a society that was free from so many of the influences of materialism that was overshadowing them at the time. Now remember, the pilgrims, they sailed from Holland. They didn't sail from England.
Right.
So they didn't sail directly out of religious persecution. They had already escaped the initial bout of religious persecution by getting to Holland. And in fact, they were welcomed in Holland with open arms. Holland was very open to religious sects of all kind. And they were very much an economic engine. They were more about embracing people's work ethic as opposed to their religious background. And so they embraced this Christian movement and this Puritan movement because these guys worked like crazy. They had this work ethic that just drove their economic engine and built their society very well. And so when they left, it wasn't them escaping Holland. They left because what they wanted is they wanted to raise their children in a society where there wasn't so much materialism, where the children could focus more on their purpose of being here on the earth, and that was to develop their skills and to become closer to God. And there was a lot of materialism around them in Holland, which is hard to kind of fathom when you think of what's going on in our world today, that these kids back in the 1600s had materialism to worry about. But yeah, so they gathered together in Holland, and they had this meeting where they prayed and fasted, and they had a congregation, a solemn congregation, to determine where they should seek out to establish Zion, pursue the establishment of Zion. And so there were other places in Holland where they could go, and there were unknowns about that, but not nearly as severe as the unknowns of crossing the ocean in what was still a very sketchy voyage to come over into a land that was inhabited by natives that some were welcoming and others weren't. And also to try to tame a wilderness where they had no idea how to grow crops and what would succeed and what the seasons were like.
Doesn't sound like a good plan to me.
And so they took it to the Lord.
Yeah.
And they prayed about it, and they felt a religious confirmation, a spiritual confirmation, that they needed to go to the Americas. And so they did. And they made a covenant when they left that they would consecrate their journey and any of their success to fulfilling this destiny of creating this Zion where their children could grow up in a very faith-filled society, or faith-based society, I should say. And so they came across, and you know that within the first year,
terrible,
nearly half of them died.
Yeah.
And when the captain of the ship was preparing to return back, he said, okay, guys, let's load up and return back. And they said, no, we're staying. He said, you know, there aren't other ships willing to take you back. And there is a lot, there is some disparity in the history and the motive as to why the pilgrims stayed. And a lot of it is because they were escaping religious persecution and they weren't about to go back into the hands of the persecutors.
Right.
But in their particular case, in these original pilgrims, they wouldn't be going back into the hands of the persecutors. They'd be going back into a society in Holland where they would be embraced, where they still had a congregation there. But they said no, not a single one of them wanted to return. And they unanimously decided to stay because they had decided that this was inspired by God to come and that God would consecrate their journey to, and make it successful. In the end it was. In large part, God intervened with this friendly relationship with the indigenous people, the Wampanoags.
It saved their lives.
It saved their lives, yeah. Absolutely. And so they celebrated this by coming together and having a day of reflection to look back and see what they did right and what they did wrong and what they wanted to be in the future, and thank God for being there, and that's Thanksgiving. So and of course there's questions as to whether who had the first Thanksgiving. Was it these Puritans that were a bit north of the Jamestown colony and settlement, or was it the Jamestown people? Because they both started doing a Thanksgiving. But there is that story that I told is one of them, and it's one of those that has reflected upon by George Washington and Abraham Lincoln when they instituted a national day of thanks.
Have you ever made the trip back to the East Coast to visit, like, the historic Jamestown colony?
I have.
So have I. And it's amazing reconstruction. And, of course, with actors that play the parts, play the roles. Of course, this was a developed colony, not the first-year colony.
Right. And the interesting thing about Jamestown is it was a lot more about commerce.
Yes.
And going out and seeking a better option for a way of life, people that were really entrepreneurs to the nth degree, and they wanted to see what they could do. They wanted to see what they could produce by the hand of their own industry. And land was in scarce supply where they were coming from, but it was in wide supply here in the Americas, although the unknowns and the diseases and the hardships were unlimited. Uh-huh. It was opportunity that brought them over. And I think that equally we should be grateful for their sacrifice in doing that, because it really embodies the American spirit. But it wasn't so much a religious zealot or a zealousness that brought them over as the Puritans were. They came over for two different reasons, and I think that it's good because our country is founded on principles of faith and religious freedom, and it's also founded on principles of owning your land and working it hard and reaping the fruits of your labors.
Yeah. And they almost didn't make it, but it did thrive, obviously.
Yeah. And Jamestown, you know, you do any research on them, and they were in peril of totally perishing as well, starving out, yeah, and dying of disease. So it's really interesting. I've got a little... Abraham Lincoln talks about Thanksgiving, and he's got some amazing words and just He's got a way of putting things together.
He was a communicator.
And so I want to read what he said about Thanksgiving and when he instituted it for the first time nationally since 1963. But we have to take a break first. So we're going to come back, talk more about Thanksgiving. This is 560 AM KBLU, Life, Death, and the Law.
Problem solvers. When it rains, it pours. And when it pours through a leak or a pipe break, it means water damage to your home. Choking mold can result, not to mention the mess. Hi, it's Mike Miller from PhD. If you experience flood or water damage, you need to act quickly. With 24-hour emergency service, trust PhD, the professional home doctors, to return your home to its pre-loss condition. PhD, professional home doctors, 341-9111.
Have a question? Our phone lines are open. Call 344-5258. That's 344-KBLU.
Hey, Yuma, Dave Ramsey here. If you listen to our show or know anything about us, then you know I only recommend products and services I trust and I believe in. That's why when it comes to protecting your assets and planning for your loved one's future, you've got to call my friends Sean Garner and Adam Hansen at the law firm of Deason, Garner, and Hansen. I encourage you to take the first step and attend a free, no-pressure seminar and learn all of your options. The firm of Deason, Garner, and Hansen has been educating the Yuma community for over 40 years, and this is the only area of law that they practice. Sean and Adam believe in giving free education to help people make smart decisions about their assets and help them leave a legacy for their family that they can be proud of. Schedule a free personal consultation today. Call 783-4575 or visit YumaEstatePlanning.com.
El Dorado Broadcasters is searching for creative problem solvers to join our team of marketing professionals where we help businesses be more successful. I'm Chris Fleming, General Manager. Here's what it's like when you make a career working with El Dorado Broadcasters.
I'm Cindy Landine. I've been with the station for 30 years. The best part about my job is I'm not tied to my desk. I'm out and about in the Yuma community helping businesses and nonprofit organizations better themselves by achieving their marketing goals.
Apply online at evbroadcasters.com/careers.
Senstar Insecticide, you are a go for launch.
Introducing Senstar, an all-new fast-acting, long-lasting insecticide from Valent USA. With two effective modes of action, Senstar provides stellar control of whiteflies, aphids, thrips, and psyllids, protecting vegetables from unwanted invasion. Quickly eliminate pests at all life stages, including eggs, and boost your insect control with new Senstar from Valent.
And we have liftoff.
Contact your PCA or visit Valent.com/Senstar.
Always read and follow label instructions.
Ho, 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 ho! Merry Christmas! Are you ready for our Christmas sales at Hyundai of Yuma?
Whoa, wait up, Santa. It's not your turn yet. It's November!
Hyundai of Yuma is giving thanks to everyone by giving away prices on their new vehicles.
It's a turkey sales event.
They have $6,000 off on their new 2020 Santa Fe's and $5,000 off on the all-new 2021 Tucson's. To add the stuffing, they're taking off $4,000 on all 2020 Elantras. Now that's a way of giving thanks to everyone. To top that all off, all new Hyundais come with America's best warranty. 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain warranty. So there's no better time. By the way, what happens when cranberries get sad? They turn into blueberries. So stop by and visit my friends this month at Hyundai of Yuma on 1125 East 32nd Street or call them at 928-344-1100. And have a happy Thanksgiving, everyone. All prices plus tax, stock fee, and registration rebates are in lieu of any special finance offers.
You're listening to Life, Death, and the Law, presented by Deason, Garner, and Hansen, the law firm that has been voted Yuma's best 6 years in a row.
Well, welcome back, Yuma. This is Sean Garner. I'm an attorney with Deason, Garner, and Hansen. We do estate planning, and a lot of times we use this show to talk about estate planning, answer questions about estate planning that we've run into through working with clients throughout the week or even people that call in, and we also use it to address issues that are going on in our community, in our state, in our nation, and in our world. And today we're talking about Thanksgiving.
Yep.
And we left off during the last segment talking about Abraham Lincoln. And the terms and wording that he used and the underlying spirit that he had when he instituted the first national day of thanks, the Thanksgiving. And so it was in October, it was 1863, and in the first paragraph of his speech, Lincoln emphasized that he wanted to demonstrate a thankfulness to God. And I'm going to read it. It says, "This year that is drawing towards its close has been filled with the blessings of fruitful fields and healthful skies. To these bounties, which are so constantly enjoyed that we are prone to forget the source of which they come, others have been added, which are of so extraordinary of a nature that they cannot fail to penetrate and soften even the heart, which is habitually insensible to the ever-watchful providence of the Almighty God." And so then Lincoln goes on to enumerate all of the economic blessings that the country had enjoyed based on the government and the organization that was established. It says, "No human counsel hath devised, nor hath any mortal hand worked out these great things. They are the gracious gifts of the Most High God, who, while dealing with us in anger for our sins, has nevertheless remembered mercy." So that's one of the first times that he nationally recognizes that slavery is a national sin, for which they were paying the price severely there with the death of many young boys and all Americans.
Yeah, go back and read the inauguration, second inauguration.
Uh-huh.
It gets a little bit more into the payment of the sin of slavery.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's when it was becoming more widely acknowledged that we were going through a period of penitence at that time for embracing that sin of slavery. Now, slavery is an interesting thing because you've got this 1619 project, which is a new version of history for the United States that the far left wants to institute into our education curriculum that teaches children to basically abhor our founding fathers and the foundation of this country and feel guilty for the prosperity that we've experienced because it's been on the backs of slaves, essentially an institution which we founded. And that's false. Slavery is horrible and it's bad, and there's never an excuse for it. However, the history of slavery goes on throughout the history of mankind, and
to this day,
and it continues on, right? And the American colonies did not begin the institution of slavery. They certainly participated in the institution of slavery. Now, the Puritans didn't. They came over with the belief that no man should be enslaved or owned. However, the Jamestown, which was, like I said, more of an economic-driven colony, it's the first colony. And so they did have slaves, and there was a slave market-driven. But it wasn't just black slaves at the time. There was another form of slavery that goes by a different term of indentureship.
Right.
And indentureship is where you pledge your life and your labor to somebody for a debt.
The debt could be passage to America.
Yes, oftentimes was. Yeah. So people didn't have opportunity to pay for their own way to get here. And so those who wanted to bring over a workforce and would get together with the people that needed to get over here but had no money, and they would put the plan together, okay, you come over, but until you work off your debt, you do whatever I say, and you are mine to control.
Right.
And so
it wasn't just an 8-to-5.
No. And it was as much of a slave-type ordeal. Now, the major difference is the people weren't demoralized to the sense as they were considered property.
No.
And right. And that is a major difference, and it wasn't based on race. Now, there were free black Americans in the early days of the United States, or even not even of the United States, but of the colonization of America. And so not all blacks that came here were slaves. I mean, that's important to remember. And there were prominent black members that helped establish the society that we enjoy today. And surely they participated in this slave trade that largely promulgated from Africa. When they went over there to purchase slaves, they weren't going over there and raiding villages and taking what were otherwise free people and slapping chains on them and bringing them over as slaves. They were trading and negotiating with slave owners
that may have done that.
May have done that already in Africa, and therefore they supported that.
Yeah.
And you know, they provided a market for that, but the people that they generally went over there and brought back were already slaves sitting there waiting as chattel or material to be brought over.
The 1621 Project kind of infers that we invented slavery.
Yes, and that it's America's fault that slavery existed.
Yeah.
It's America's fault that slavery continued on for as long as it did. And America should acknowledge to the world that it was doing something that was terrible and horrible, and it should pay a great price continually for that.
Right.
And I don't agree with that at all. I don't agree. First of all, I don't know of any of my ancestors that owned slaves. I don't think that my ancestors...
I think it was like a 5% that ever... What was it? It was a very small single-digit number that actually owned slaves.
8%.
Was it 8?
Yeah.
I knew it was a small single-digit.
It was a pretty small percentage.
Yeah.
And so I've traced back my genealogy. Well, my mom has, and then I get the benefits of looking back through my genealogy.
That's the same as you.
Right, exactly. And I haven't seen any slaveholders in my family line. But even if I did, I wouldn't feel guilty personally for it, because I can't change what my brother does, let alone my great-great-great-great-great-great-great-grandfather does, right?
Correct.
And all I can do is recognize the opportunity that I have today.
Yeah.
And reconcile with everybody that is around me today, whether they be black or white or other. And so I think that this idea of perpetuating this hatred towards the descendants of slaveholders is horrible.
And we put today's morals on them.
Right.
And they didn't live in that.
No,
they
it was a different society.
Different. Yeah. And George Washington owned many slaves. And he was the general in the army, you know, that for the Revolutionary War.
Yeah.
And he gave, I mean, he knew it was wrong. He worked to take it in, you know, through the Constitution. He worked on that. But he couldn't just make it not happen. He gave away his own slaves. I mean, he freed all his own slaves upon his death, and did all he could to make sure the colonies had a way out. But to start tearing down his statues and say that he was an evil man is crazy.
Yeah, and the same thing is true for the father of the Democratic Party. I would say that most people recognize that as Thomas Jefferson. And he owned slaves.
Correct.
And was a Virginian that had a large plantation that was built on the backs of slaves. Yet he did things for this nation that had never been done for any other nation in the world, in establishing control of the government by the voice of the people.
Right.
And he had more faith in the people than a lot of his counterparts like Hamilton and John Adams. But he was nonetheless a slave owner. And so you can't judge a person for the worst flaw that we have based on society's norms today. And disregard all the good that has been brought to pass, unless you're just going to completely close a blind eye to the blessings that we have and just focus on all the negative.
Now, did you, doing the ancestors, you find ancestors that fought in the Revolutionary War? In the Civil War.
I don't remember specifically, because a lot of my ancestors were part of the pioneers that came across, mm-hmm. and settled the Great Salt West or Salt Lake Basin.
Okay.
And so it's interesting because obviously, if you don't know, for those of you that are listening out there haven't heard me before, I'm a member of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. And that church was driven out of the United States by mobs and religious bigotry. And so they were driven to go to the base of the Rocky Mountains in the Salt Lake Valley, which was a desolate region at the time compared to where they were coming from. They were coming from Illinois and the fruitful fields of, like, Missouri, where it just crops were growing in this rich soil to this base of the Salt Lake. And, yeah. and the Salt Lake is a Dead Sea, in a sense. It is a Dead Sea. Nothing lives in it. So they were driven, and it was a Mexico territory at the time. So they literally were driven out of the United States to try to escape the persecutions that they were suffering. That they were suffering in a nation that was founded on the principles of religious freedom. So the irony is great. But because of that, a large part of them escaped the Civil War. Right. Because then the Civil War occurred during the 1860s when that was being established, and they were far away and removed from that conflict.
Makes sense.
And that's where my ancestors come from, and that's why they didn't participate in the Civil War. But we have to take a break. The show is Life, Death, and the Law, and the station is 560 AM KBLU.
Have a question? Our phone lines are open. Call 344-5258. That's 344-KBLU.
Hey, Yuma, Dave Ramsey here. If you listen to our show or know anything about us, then you know I only recommend products and services I trust and I believe in. That's why when it comes to protecting your assets and planning for your loved one's future, you've got to call my friends Sean Garner and Adam Hansen at the law firm of Deason, Garner, and Hansen. I encourage you to take the first step and attend a free, no-pressure seminar and learn all of your options. The firm of Deason, Garner, and Hansen has been educating the Yuma community for over 40 years, and this is the only area of law that they practice. Sean and Adam believe in giving free education to help people make smart decisions about their assets and help them leave a legacy for their family that they can be proud of. Schedule a free personal consultation today. Call 783-4575 or visit YumaEstatePlanning.com.
The Russ Clark Show is brought to you by Quick Refrigeration, now offering excellence in professional plumbing services as well as heating and air conditioning. Visit them at GetCoolQuick.com and listen to Russ Clark Monday through Friday, 6 a.m. to 9 a.m. Sprague Sports is Yuma's hunting and shooting headquarters. Why? Because Sprague Sports is the difference. Where else can you buy, sell, trade, or consign firearms with free expert appraisals always? There is nothing like Sprague Sports. With 64 years of industry connections to have products in stock when others can't. And all Sprague's firearms come with a lifetime warranty. And talk about customer service. There's a gunsmith always on duty. Sprague's is your Remington warranty center. And when you need it, there's expert one-day sight-in service. But that's not all. Sprague Sports has got training courses, including Arizona CCW, First Shot, Hunter Education, and more. Sprague handles Glock, Blue Label pistols, and is your NFA dealer in suppressors and full autos. That's why we call them the experts. And Sprague's is Yuma's Yeti headquarters, the best Yeti selection and free ice for life. Sprague's has a 10-lane, rifle-certified indoor shooting range and gun rentals you can try before you buy. Serving Yuma's shooting and outdoor needs since 1956. That's the Sprague's difference. Sprague's, 32nd Street, next to Lowe's.
What happens after the voting locations close? This is Secretary of State Katie Hobbs. In Arizona, you'll start to see election results around 8 p.m. on Election Day. However, these early results will change as county election officials continue to verify and count ballots. This takes time, so please be patient as election officials work to ensure every eligible vote is counted. Throughout the process, you can track your ballot and find updated results at arizona.vote, your trusted source for election information.
It's a fact. Pipes burst, faucets leak, water heaters stop working. But it's also a fact that you can turn to PhD to solve these plumbing and restoration problems for you. With PhD, you get skilled technicians, not people who learn while you pay. And since your home doesn't break on a schedule, you can call us anytime, day or night. Call PhD, the professional home doctors, 341-9111.
The holidays are bustling with activity.
Handle it all with Happy Honda Days. Shopping for that perfect present? The Honda Accord and Civic Sedan can get you there. Take on the season with financing as low as 0.9% APR on the 2020 Accord and as low as 1.9% APR on the 2020 Civic Sedan on select models for well-qualified buyers.
See your Southwest Desert Honda dealer today.
See dealer for financing details.
You're listening to Life, Death, and the Law, presented by Deason, Garner, and Hanson, the law firm that has been voted Yuma's best 6 years in a row.
Welcome back, Yuma. This is Sean Garner. I'm in studio here with Russ Clark.
Morning.
We are talking about Thanksgiving. We're talking about the foundation of our country, and we're talking about the first time in our modern history that this Day of Thanks was instituted, and it was in a letter by Abraham Lincoln in October of 1863 in the heat of the Civil War. And again, I can't talk about his feelings and his thoughts nearly as well as he, because I'm going to read some phrases from him. Before I do, I'm going to take this caller on online. Go ahead, caller.
Hi, Sean. Hey, I got a question about a will. Is that okay if I ask you about it?
Well, sure.
Okay. I'm 68 years old, and I have my house in my name and my wife's joint tenancy with the right of survivorship. My car is in both our names. My bank accounts are in both our names. Do I have to have a will?
Hey, so when you and your wife pass away, who do you want the property to go to?
Well, if I die, I want my wife to have everything.
Okay.
And then my daughters will come after that.
And how many daughters do you have?
Three daughters.
Do you have any children that have passed away?
No.
Okay. And do you have any grandchildren?
I have grandchildren, yes.
Okay. Do each of your daughters have children?
Yes.
Okay. So that's a great question. So you've got a house and a car and a bank account. They're all jointly held. And you're right, like, if you were to pass away, then your wife would automatically own all that property, and the management of that property wouldn't be impeded at all by your death, because she's a joint owner, she's got complete access right now, and her access will be unfettered when you pass away. The question becomes, what happens when you both pass away? That's an issue. How does it get divided between your children? And that's where probate typically comes in. And oftentimes the question is, okay, well, when does the court begin that probate process? Well, the court doesn't on its own. It doesn't proactively seek out individuals who have passed away in their estates and then try to distribute them. It allows the individuals that are the heirs or beneficiaries named in the estate to come and file a petition to determine who is going to be put in control and who is going to have the duties and responsibilities of paying off all the bills and distributing the property. And so without naming your children jointly on your accounts, it won't go automatically to them. And I don't think it's a good idea to name them jointly on your accounts, because you don't ever want to expose your assets to anybody's liabilities, no matter how much you love and respect them or how good a citizen they are, because everybody has, we live in a world that's filled with lawsuits and litigation and perils, and so they could get divorced or get in a car accident, and then your bank accounts and house would be subject to their liabilities if you named them on those accounts. Also, if you became disabled, then you would need somebody, say you and your wife became disabled, you got in a car accident, and one of you's in a coma and the other one has got severe brain damage. So you need somebody to manage your affairs. What if you pass away and your wife has dementia? She owns all the property, but she needs someone to manage her affairs. That's where a will, a power of attorney, or even a living trust can really come in and fill in those gaps and answer those questions. So I'd recommend that you go on our website, and we've got this 40-minute webinar. And it's as dreary and boring as a legal webinar may sound, it's actually pretty entertaining. And I'm going to just put that out there. And it'll give you a lot of food for thought. It's you go to www.yuma.law. Yuma.law. It's the .law that throws people off. It's not. Okay. It's not .com. It's .law. If you go to www.yuma.law, you'll get to it. Or if you just Google estate planning Yuma, then you'll go to it. And on the first page of our website, there's this free seminar that you can just click on. You can watch it in your PJs and have your mind opened as to
okay, Sean,
what
I'm
going to
do that. I'm going to do that. I'm going to go to that and look at it. But as it is, what my plan was, either I die or my wife dies, then with what we've done already, if that happens and we don't have dementia, then we shouldn't have to worry about the probate side of it. Is that right?
The surviving spouse will not have to worry about probate.
Okay.
Correct.
Well, thank you so much. I'm going to look at that seminar, and I really appreciate your help.
Thank you. Happy Thanksgiving to you.
Thank you. You too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Okay, so we're going to talk about going back to Lincoln and Thanksgiving and the institutional, having an institution for a nation as a day of thanks. And here are his words. It has seemed to me fit and proper that they should be solemnly, reverently, gratefully acknowledged as with one heart and one voice by the whole American people. I do therefore invite my fellow citizens in every part of the United States, and also those who are at sea and those who are sojourning in foreign lands, to set apart and observe the last day, last Thursday of November next, as the day of thanksgiving and praise to our beneficent Father who dwelleth in heaven. And I recommend to them that while offering up the ascriptions justly due to him for such singular deliverances and blessings, they do also with humble penitence for our national perverseness and disobedience, slavery, commend to his tender care all those who have become widows, orphans, mourners, or sufferers in the lamentable civil strife in which we are unavoidably engaged, and fervently implore the interposition of the Almighty Hand to heal the wounds of the nation and restore it as soon as may be consistent with the divine purposes to the full enjoyment and peace and harmony and tranquility of the Union. So there's a lot of solemnity there. And it's intermingled with acknowledgement of the wrongs that have been done by the American people to what weren't considered American citizens at the time, and that were the black enslaved people. Now, there were black American citizens at the time, free black Americans, but he was particularly referring to the slavery as this perverseness of the nation.
That he did that during the darkest moments of our country, that he asked for thanks,
and declared it, that because initially when he took his office as president and as the war began, he said that I'm going to do everything possible to maintain this country united,
right,
and whether that is with slavery intact or not, I'm going to do whatever it takes to maintain this unity. But this point in the Civil War, he says, we're being punished. And that's because of this great sin of slavery. And we need to recognize that, be penitent for it, and rectify our ways. Repent, which repent in its root word means to change.
Right.
And redirect ourselves. And so he abolishes slavery with the Emancipation Proclamation, which is just a presidential proclamation. It's not binding after the war, necessarily. And so then he pushes through the 13th Amendment to abolish slavery forever. It's taken us to the end of the hour. Thank you, Yuma, and we'll talk to you next week. This is Life, Death, and Law.
Please call the law firm of Deason, Garner, and Hanson at 928-783-4575 or visit yumaestateplanning.com.
The preceding show on 560 KBLU was a paid program.
All opinions expressed by the program participants are solely their current opinions and do not reflect the opinions of 560 KBLU, El Dorado Broadcasters, LLC, their respective parent companies or affiliates, or the companies with which the program participants are affiliated and may have been previously disseminated by them. The program participants' opinions are based upon information they consider reliable, but neither 560 KBLU, El Dorado Broadcasters, LLC, nor its affiliates, nor the companies with which such participants are affiliated, warrant its completeness or accuracy, and it should not be relied upon as such.
From the 1 Hour Air Conditioning and Heating Studio, this is News Talk 560 KBLU, Yuma.